Good morning, and good morning especially to our Facebook friends. I know there's a lot of sickness, illness going on, and I'm sure there are some people who are tuning in for the sake of not wanting to share their germs, and so we welcome you being able to do that from where you are today. But as we begin today, I would invite you to, you may open your Bibles or you may look at the screen. We'll be looking at Jonah. And I would say that Jonah is a very exciting book. It's a dramatic story. But I would ask today that as we look at the scripture and really study it, that it's not just about the story, but it's about the application God desires for us to make to our lives where we are today. Would you follow along with me? And I'll be reading again as I begin with the children, then continuing into chapter 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And now I will go over to chapter 3 and begin with verse 1 there. Then the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And then down to verse 10 in that same chapter. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. We began last Sunday with a message of the new year about God doing a new thing. In reality, God is always at work doing new things, but too often, we're not attentive enough to God to recognize what he's doing and how he wants us to be a part of this new thing that's happening. For the next few weeks, we're going to focus on the basics of how we connect or reconnect with God so that we don't miss out on what he has in store for us. So I would encourage you, and this is something I'm taking a little bit of a break from just going through the books of the Bible as we have, because I really felt led by God to help us with practical application of what we do when we want to be a part of that new thing, when we want to be connected. And so we're going to spend several weeks, and I think, again, just like we started last Sunday, I think there'll be some practical information, some practical ideas. So I would invite you to come with an anticipation of God speaking to you and God desiring to move in a very specific way in your life. Lord, I pray right now that we will be open to your spirit. And Lord, not just your spirit here, not just your spirit that's right now on us and convicting us and enabling us to see things in your scripture and in your message that we wouldn't see otherwise. But God, I just ask that your Holy Spirit also be with us as we leave this place. As we go about the places we go every day in our work, in our shopping, in our with our families. And that your Spirit will move in such a way that we are aware of what you're doing. And we going to join you there in that new thing. In Jesus' name we pray. one of my self-proclaimed theological sayings, mine, is that God allows U-turns. This comes in large part because I've been known for most of my life as being directionally challenged. For those of you who have not heard this story, I share it not to incriminate myself, but to keep others from making it sound even worse than it is. So a few of you know this, but for those of you who have become a part of our congregation in the past couple of years or so, or just happened not to be here at that time I shared it, I'm going to make it brief, but share again. You see, this was in the last century when GPS was not really on the scene yet. It was also in my early years before Christy, who is now my official navigator. I was driving a group of friends back from Maryland. Somehow I got on this thing called the Beltway, which I now realize is a literal tourist trap. You get on it, but you can't get off. We eventually escaped from the Beltway, finally heading down 66. We were home free on our way back to Charlottesville until I saw a sign saying, "Welcome to West Virginia." I was relegated to the back seat for the rest of the trip. You may not be as directionally challenged as your pastor, but I can assure you, all of us, even the most seasoned believer, will make wrong turns every now and then. While this is physically true, even for the men who never want to admit it, that you've made a wrong turn, I want to stay focused today on the spiritual wrong turns we make. Now, these wrong turns can be due to a variety of things. They can be due to being distracted. People miss their turn because they're not paying attention. One of the biggest reasons for missing turns is because I'm so engaged in a conversation, I'm just not focused on what's going on. Not that I talk that much or anything. But spiritually, we can also be distracted by different things. We can be distracted by our own interest. We can be distracted by the noise of other people around us. We can be distracted by our own agendas. We can be distracted by our desire to be liked or by our desire to impress other people. These are things that can distract us from where God wants us to go. But this isn't the only thing that can cause us to get off track. Another one is that we can just be in new territory. The first time, and this is true, I can go somewhere, and I've never been there before, and I go with Christy, and somehow or another she has this sense of, like, how to get places she's never been. Makes no sense to me, but I try it, I get lost every time. I don't. So, but the same thing happens with a lot of us. When we haven't been there before, it's easy to get turned around. We can think we need to go a certain way, or this is the way that makes sense, but it's very important in such situations that we rely very closely on the directions or instructions of how we're supposed to get where we're going. I can promise you, if you're seeking God, He will lead you to places you have never been or even anticipated going. So when you get there, it's important to pay attention. All too often, we get to this new place and begin exploring or assuming we know more than we do about this new place, and we begin to disregard God's guidance, and we get off track. A third thing that can cause us to go the wrong direction is taking shortcuts. We want to get there faster. From my personal experience, shortcuts have cost me more time than it saved. To summarize with Scripture, Isaiah chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God has a plan. And for the life of me, I can't understand why sometimes I think my plan could be better than His. Our problem is we often get so focused on the destination, we don't appreciate the experience of the journey God has planned for us. Hear that again. Our problem is so often we get focused on the destination, we don't appreciate the experience of the journey God has planned for us. Our young adults, I told you, they're beginning kind of a new meeting plan and a new study, and they have what they call a Lion Chaser Manifesto, and this is the first line of that manifesto I'd like to share with you this morning, and this is what it says. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. God didn't create us just to be born, do everything right, and get to the end and die and go to heaven. I mean, that's pretty cool that you get to go to heaven. But God intends our life here to be full of meaning and purpose and joy and celebration. And so along the journey, we're supposed to be paying attention to what God desires for us, not simply trying to live for the goal at the end of the time we call life here. One of the comforting things I believe we see through Jonah is that God is more persistent than man is rebellious. When Jonah ran, God pursued him. He pursued him with storms and a fish. We're not looking at that directly this morning. But if you are sincere about embracing God's second chance in your life, I would encourage you to look at chapter 2 in the book of Jonah as an example of sincerely reaching out to God in the midst of whatever may be holding you back this morning. In chapter 2, we see Jonah's prayer from the belly of a fish. When he's there and he doesn't know where to turn, he doesn't know what to do, he doesn't see any step to take, literally can't see because he's in the belly of a fish and ain't no light. We've been there. Look at this and let it be yet another example. Such sincerity in seeking God will result in some pretty immediate changes. I believe that. Seeking God in this way, if we look at chapter 2 of Jonah, you look at that, see the prayer, and if we're sincere in desiring God to be a part of our lives, I believe there will be some changes that will happen pretty quickly. Here's some of them. One is you will quit running and instead be more willing to recognize and respond to God's plan. If you mean this, if you mean that you want God to be a part of guiding your life, and you're praying that, one of the things that's going to happen is that you're going to quit running the other way. You're going to realize, just like we talked to the children, you can't hide from God. Or just ignoring what He's asked you doesn't make that go away or that it never happened. And when you realize that, you just know it doesn't make any sense to keep running. And this could be accepting God's call to some type of ministry opportunity. It could be not running away of forgiving someone. Not running away when you know God's asked you to let go of a habit and to do it for real this time. You know what you're running from. Be willing to stop running. Secondly, your heart will change. It's not just a change on the outside, it's a change on the inside. It's a personal thing, it's a relational thing. You can and will feel closer to God, the one who is pursuing you. When you are sincere about wanting to be who and where God wants you to be, he responds. And he responds in a real relationship, and that relationship changes who you are. Think for a moment about any good relationship you have with someone. Maybe it's a significant other, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's just a really good friend. But when that person comes into your life and you build a relationship and you spend time together, it changes you as a person, does it not? There are so many people in this room right now that I mean it with all my heart when I say I am standing here as a different person because God has placed them in my life. And the number one being my wife. But that should be so much more true as Jesus Christ enters into our life. It changes us. Are you willing to listen to God? And I don't mean just read the scripture and quote it back, but to do something with it. The scripture actually says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. I promise you, God is speaking to you. Every one of you here, no matter how young, no matter how old, God is speaking to you. God desires to communicate with you on a daily basis, 24/7. How do you hear God? For some, you're feeling a nudge right now. Right now. There's something going on inside of you. We call that the Holy Spirit. God is moving inside you to encourage you, to direct you, to show you His plan. He's just waiting for you to say yes. And once you say yes, expect Him to show you His way and be willing to follow. Scripture is key. It's a practical tool God has placed in your hands to return to daily to experience His truth, His love, His promises, and it is the best guide for life you will ever encounter. Also, in terms of listening to God and being able to know what God's saying, God has given us the body of Christ. We're first and foremost, we're to lean on God. But also, we have each other. And that thing about once someone comes into your life, particularly if they're a believer, and you can see and understand, and I've heard this said so many times recently over the recent years here, there's no mistaking when God brings someone into your life. There's a plan and a purpose, and God uses, if we pay attention, God uses every single person that's a part of our life in some way. This is something extra that I won't charge you anymore for. Same admission price you paid when you came in. But the last thing I want to say here in terms of listening to God came from a conversation I had this morning from someone who came and was literally asking me this question. We should be aware of God daily. Hear me. I say it and you nod your heads like you believe it. God is a part of your life every day, right? Well, I don't think He's just a part of your life and you can't tell what it is. I believe if we seek God, I believe we will see and know in a very real and specific way how God is a part of your life that day. But not just being aware of it, the next thing I want us to do is pay attention to it. Because if he's aware, if we're aware of it and we know God's there in some way, do you think he just showed up for the heck of it? There's a plan and a purpose and something he wants us to do with that and to claim that, and it should change our day in some way. So we need to be aware of where God is in our life. God is, you said, you agreeing with me that God's a part of your life. Well, let's take time to be aware of it. Start off in the morning and say, God, help me to be aware of you. And when you say in that prayer, Esther was talking about and trusting him, just add to him, God, help me to see you and be aware of you. And then as it happens, pay attention to that. And it will change us. Remember the quote, quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. When we are willing to embrace this type of living, we move beyond ourselves, beyond our own agenda and our own goals, to embrace God-sized dreams, God-sized goals, God-sized plans. Part of this is recognizing God's love for the world. We know the words, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, Jonah didn't have John 3:16 in this form when God called him, but would you think that would also mean for God so loved Nineveh that he would be willing to give his Son? Because Jonah struggled with that a little bit, if you hadn't read the rest of the story. We are living this. When we embrace God's plan, our anger, our hatred, our resentment, our negativity toward others and judgmental attitude will begin to fade away, not because it's something we do, but because it's a way God changes us. Our lives will be more joyful and peaceful. But more than that, we will then be in a position to be used by God to bring peace, joy, and hope to others who are struggling to believe it's even possible. And in doing so, the way you live your life will have eternal significance. As we're willing to allow God to use us to impact others. I want to kind of pause for a moment because I had a question about this week in Jonah 3:10, where it talks about the people of Nineveh repenting. And I feel that it's appropriate to address this question because it's often asked in regard to it. And that question is, does God change his mind? Because you see, what happened was Jonah did what he was told to do. He went and preached, told them that they were just going to suffer all kinds of judgment. And they took it seriously and repented. And then Jonah got upset and said, got upset with God. God, I knew you were going to do this. You told me to go do this. And now basically you look like make me look like I don't know what I'm talking about. Jonah didn't like it one bit. So, but it begs that question, does God change his mind? There are books and theological discussions on this topic, but my simple 60-second exclamation is yes and no. No, God does not change his mind in the sense that he was wrong or made a mistake, because he's not. But it is a way of putting the idea of God's mercy into human terms that hopefully we can better understand. God's warnings are conditional. Genuine repentance being the action that can activate God's promise of mercy. God's response is not a literal change from his perfect being, but he changes his action from judgment to mercy because of our willingness to repent. Kind of like a king withdrawing a sentence from citizens after they repent. Are you perfect? Are you going in the direction in the way God desires you to in every aspect of your life? I ask this question this way because we often convince ourselves, I'm not perfect, but we're good enough. So we don't really need God's input right now. The truth is, none of us is perfect, but we should continually strive to be the best version of ourselves, which can only happen when we seek God, when we admit our shortcomings, when we accept His offer at a second chance and are willing to make U-turns in both our spiritual and our physical life.